We'd like to welcome everyone to the 24th Mahomet Bible Students Annual Convention. 24! That's amazing that we've been doing this every year for 24 years. It's truly a blessing to see so many online in this Zoom convention using the technology which seems specially prepared of the Lord to enable such conventions exactly when the need arose in these past few years with COVID and these other things. We're truly blessed to help one another in this most holy faith. This, the Jude 1:20 was already quoted, this morning. But ye beloved, building yourselves, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. So that's why we're here. We want to help one another. Now, brethren, we have chosen, the ecclesia here has chosen Revelation 14:3 as our theme scripture, and it's a wonderful, wonderful scripture. And they sung, as it were, a new song. As it were, well, it's really the old story, but those who can sing it now, to them, it's a new song. They sung before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Brethren, we are privileged to learn, to know, and to sing this song with one another at this convention. And we've also have the privilege to share this as the Lord directs to those who with a hearing ear. I remember when I had no idea about this song, but I really wanted to know. The Lord overruled, so this was brought to my attention so I could learn it, know it, and eventually sing it myself. Brother Lou, or dear Brother Lou Garrison, will give us the theme lesson at 10:30 this morning. And our theme hymn, we'd like to talk about the theme hymn a little bit that goes with this. It's the hymn 338, The Story That Never Grows Old. At the recent Chicago convention, they had a little symposium on hymns, and we got a real blessing from that. Very much so. You know, it's wonderful that from the days of Martin Luther, the hymns were sung in the common tongue, you know, everybody of the common tongue of the people. And the hymns actually taught scripture. Before that, the hymns were sung by nuns and priests and monks, and they were in Latin, and you could sit back and listen, but it didn't teach you anything. It was just sort of something for, you know, for contemplation, but there was no teaching there. But these wonderful hymns, they actually teach scriptures. So we'd like to kind of go through hymn 338, review some of these passages. In verse 1, it says, refreshing and sweet is the story sublime, the message of peace and goodwill. No other is found on the records of time that can with such happiness thrill. And I think we can all echo the words of that verse. We are so privileged to know this message of peace and goodwill of the God who has said to us, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. And I really appreciate that. He says, give me your heart. He doesn't threaten. He doesn't threaten with eternal torment or try to convert with swords and with force. But he says, give me your heart. I want you to see what I'm doing, what my ways are. And this, no other is found on the records of time that can with such happiness thrill. There's also a hymn, The Old Story, which says, it satisfieth my longings as nothing else would do. So there are many, many hymns that have that same, that show that God's plan and the knowledge of his plan and the sharing of his plan is the greatest thing. They're the greatest thing we have in our lives and that we can share with one another. In verse 2, the choir of eternity sang with delight the good news, a good news to the shepherds of old. And it made me think of in Luke 2:10, when the angel said to the shepherds, fear not. God's not a God to be feared. Behold, or pay attention. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Well, there's the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And they sang, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to men. Here's this choir of eternity. What an amazing plan. They were proclaiming a Savior who scatters our night and opens the heavenly fold. And it made me think of in John 10, verses 1 through 4, our Lord, who opened that sheepfold of the law, which was protecting the Israelites indeed, but it had to be opened so that they could come into Christ. And we've been able to follow them into Christ. And what a blessing that is. In verse 3, no wonder that angels of glory rejoice, or sinners repenting and saved. And in Luke 15:7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And brethren, don't we rejoice when we have the opportunity to share the truth with others, when we see our own brethren overcoming the flesh and making progress in this narrow way. Since Jesus to Calvary carried from choice the price of his creatures enslaved. This was his choice. He carried from choice in Psalm 40 verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And at Jordan, Jesus sacrificed his humanity for all time, which was completed at Calvary. This ransom price, the price of his creatures enslaved, the ransom price to be testified in due time. In verse 4, what comfort untold for the weary and sad is found in that glorious theme. His burden is easy, the mourner is glad, for Jesus is strong to redeem. And I appreciate this very much. His burden is easy. As in Matthew 11:29-30, where Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not the yoke of the law, which it neither Israel or anyone else could bear other than our Lord, but with Christ's robe of righteousness covering his body members, we can claim the promise of Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What an amazing thing this is, to realize this at this late date, but to see what Jesus accomplished at his first advent. In verse 5, glad song that the ransomed of Jesus will sing when judgment has summoned the dead. Makes me think of Isaiah 35:10. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, upon their heads. When jubilee bells of creation will ring, we'd like to stop here for a second. Jubilee bells of creation will ring. We know what the jubilees are about. You know, in Leviticus 25:9, Israel was to blow the silver trumpets on the 10th day of the 7th month. These jubilee trumpets. But in this country, there is we don't have the trumpets, but we have a famous bell, the Liberty Bell. Well, so happened on July 1st of this year, just a week and a half ago, I was at a doctor's appointment. The doctor, a very nice fellow, I've known him for over 30 years. He says, so what are you doing on the 4th? On the 4th of July, I said, well, nothing really special. But I knew that he had regard for the Bible. So I asked him, I said, by the way, you know, July 4th, Liberty Bell, do you know what scripture's on the Liberty Bell? And I asked him that just as I was leaving the treatment room. Well, he's a very nice man. He's in his 60s now. But I knew that when he had been in college, he attended a Bible study group. And I knew he had regard for the scriptures. So when I asked him that question, I knew that he would have to know, what is that scripture on the Liberty Bell? So as I left, he followed me. He came to the front desk to continue that conversation. He just had to know, okay, what is that scripture? So I quoted the Leviticus 25:10, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. Well, we talked about the typical jubilee, and that was something he'd never heard about before, of course. We talked about the typical jubilee and what a blessing it was to Israel, but that was as far as we could go at that time. Now, I had spoken with him before about some scriptures, for instance, Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and where will it be done? And he said, well, on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, that's right. So I look forward to further opportunities with him. But back to hymn 338. And sorrow and sighing are fled. Well, here's an allusion to Isaiah 35:10. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I think of also this patriotic song or hymn, America, that was written in 1831 by Samuel Francis Smith. Now, he was a Baptist minister, and this is not America the Beautiful, but this is my country, 'tis of the sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. And I'll stop there for a second. But at the very end, it says, of that first stanza, it says, let freedom ring. But like our manna today, the real freedom is not from European kings or other despots, but freedom from our own sins and fallen nature. Just as Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 8, we read a little later in John 8, he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But they answered him, we're Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Well, Jesus answered and said to them, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. There's the real bondage. Well, we are so blessed that we are no longer the children of wrath. It's talked about in Ephesians 2, that in times past, we were fulfilling the lusts of our flesh, the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others, really controlled by the spirit of disobedience. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, and we're going to go to Romans 5, 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, brethren, we are in the heavenlies, in our walk and in our way, and at this convention. So we can sing these praises of Psalm 149, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. We know that new song of Revelation 14. Let them praise his name in the dance, let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. Let the saints be joyful in glory, or really honor both sides of the veil. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Dear brethren, we're privileged to sing this song of praises to the Father, to our Father, and to our Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to the time when all mankind can join in this wonderful song as human beings in full harmony with God himself through the work of the Christ head and body. Then there will be wonderful singing. I think of Isaiah 14:7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Well, brethren, we now give thanks for this opportunity and pray the Lord's blessing on this convention and all its participants. And we think of Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared or reverenced the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name.